Our next live show, Friday, November 8th, and we will be celebrating those who have served this country, and we are doing the show at the American Heritage Museum in Hudson and in Stowe. And if you are listening at 8 this morning, I will give you the chance to not only come to our broadcast, which anybody can come to, but also to bring your hero to lunch with a hero afterwards. So we'll do that at 8 this morning. You can also go online at weei.com and scroll your way over to the contest page and then briefly share a story about a veteran that you would like to bring to lunch with a hero at the 110 Grill and to our show on that morning. And we'll select a bunch of you that way as well. But we're going to get to They Said It, a quick back and forth on what they said in sports yesterday at 7:20. So in about 15 minutes or so. And that will be part one because there's a lot that we got to get to. And then we'll do part two later. Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday at 9 on this morning's show. But we have a bunch of leads left this morning. Courtney, hello and hi.
Hello. Good morning, everybody. I know that when we get to our two different They Said It segments, there will be a lot of negativity when it comes to the Patriots. So I just want to look at things glass half full. I know it's very difficult to do right now where we sit in the season, but players were able to address the media yesterday, and of course they were all asked about Gerard Mayo calling them soft. And I just want to read a few different guys and what they had to say, starting with Kayshawn Booty. He said, "We've got to play harder. We're tired of being 1-6. He said he understood where Gerard Mayo was coming from.
Okay.
That's one. Mm-hmm. Keon White maybe had my favorite response of all. I mean, yeah, it's our job. We get paid a lot of money to do this.
Okay.
You never hear guys anymore saying that. You never hear guys say, I'm making millions of dollars to go out there and play football. If we are playing bad and my coach is calling us soft, mm-hmm. that shouldn't bother us. That's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Keon White also said, at some point, you have to be a man and really take pride in your work. We all need to step up. These are guys that you're going to hear other parts of what they had to say, and they'll be negative when it comes to this franchise and this team this season. But when it comes to Gerard Mayo, I do not think that there is a mutiny when it comes to the head coach. I do not think that they are turning on Gerard Mayo.
Okay.
I think Gerard Mayo still has the ear of them. I really, and I said this yesterday, I wish Gerard Mayo hadn't walked back his comments.
Yeah.
And I wish he had stuck to their soft team, because I think these guys need a kick in the butt.
Right.
And that was it.
And you believe them. Like, you think that it landed the way Gerard Mayo wanted it to land with them when he called them soft.
Yeah, yeah. Wiggy said it as a former player. That's something you never want to be called.
Right.
So I think that was a perfect, perfect sentence to refer to this team.
All right. Thank you, Courtney. Wiggy, good morning.
Good job, Courtney. All right. So the NFL trade deadline is November 5th. This team's going nowhere. We had a caller talk about Cooper Kupp and potentially coming here. And I said, well, if you're the New England Patriots, you got to be looking at this season of, you know, being a wash in the sense of you making the playoffs. Then it's really about you. I get it. The coaches, they're trying to win football games. Front office wants them to see win football games. But if you're in front office, what do you need to do to potentially make this team better? And what I think is you need to look at players that could be disgruntled in other organizations that you might be able to potentially trade for and know that you have them on contract for a couple of years. Like one guy, for example, that I would love to see New England go after, he seems like he wants out, and maybe he would, you know, you'd have no choice but to come here, is a guy like Max Crosby that could help your team in the immediate future. Mm-hmm. When you look at, he's got a couple years left on his contract. He's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. You put him opposite of Keon White. You want to make that defense better. We heard Gerard Mayo talk about their struggles with getting to the quarterback. And maybe he's a player that you could potentially get that gives you some juice and maybe brings in that leadership.
What are you giving up for him?
Second round pick, third round pick.
Okay, just picks.
Yes.
Because there's nobody that anybody wants, really.
No, not really. I mean, if you're the Raiders, I mean, who would you want from this team? I mean, maybe, and the caller brought this up, maybe you throw a guy like Joe Milton in there because the Raiders could be looking in the market for a quarterback, and I know that they're probably going to pick one, but you potentially that's something that they might be interested in. But I think that's what you know, the caller said Cooper Kupp. I think more younger guys that you can get to stay here for next year and build around some of those guys if you can, you know, maybe get potentially some teams willing to trade.
Wiki, this is my favorite lead you've had in a really long time.
I never thought it's
such a good point. They have all this cap space. There's got to be players that are overpaid on other teams that they would like to relinquish, and it's just money here. Then they get here, they can improve the team, maybe improve the culture, get a guy that will be a good lieutenant for Mayo. I think it's a great idea.
You have to somehow, from my perspective, you have to somehow find guys mm-hmm. who want to play for somebody like Gerard Mayo, who played in the league,
right.
And that actually want to be here. There are guys who are making it clear, and we'll get to it during they said it, that they don't want to be
right
here in New England right. on this football team. So, you know, get rid
generally,
of
generally, we can figure who those guys out there. Yeah. All in one room.
They're all in one room. They're all the wide receivers. They're not happy. So right. You got to find guys that somehow want to be here. All right. Shime, did you find that Ty Law audio? When Ty Law was on Tuesday, we had a little discussion about Gerard Mayo and whether or not he was doing enough coaching on the field in game. And here's a little bit of that.
Because I played with Coach Belichick, the greatest, you expect all coaches to kind of mm-hmm. handle it that way, especially being a defensive guy and right. they're having most of their problems. They have problems all across the board, but especially on defense. So when Gerard doesn't come over to grab the tablet or whatever they're doing mm-hmm. and jumping up in everybody's face and getting in their grill, that is a little bit different. But some people just, you know, delegate to their coordinators.
Okay. So, as a follow-up yesterday, and there's been a lot of criticism on this show and everywhere else of Gerard Mayo, as a follow-up, he was asked about Ty Law and those who don't think he's coaching enough out there yesterday, and here's what Gerard Mayo said.
I do engage with the players. I engage with the defense, and I would say I also have a headset where I'm flipping through channels talking to the coordinators. There have been times where I brought those guys up, and there have been times where I've let the coordinators or position coach do their thing, even though we've talked about it on the headset. So,
okay.
It's an interesting point because I would have to, like, look at all the coaches and see which guys don't really call a defense or call the offense. Like, we know Mike McDaniels is the kind of play caller in Miami. Same with Sean McVay. So they're getting involved in the offense. But a guy that lets his coordinator on both sides do it, see how much he engaged. Because it is kind of unusual to me to not see the head coach jump into whatever side of the ball he's comfortable on during the game.
I feel like I need receipts on what he is actually listening to on his headset. Like, is it a great tune?
Yeah. Or it's probably a fire drill. You know, like a frantic 911 call. What should we do here? Oh my God! Does anybody have any ideas? It's 3rd and 1. What are we gonna do here? Somebody please help me out. Probably one of those. But isn't it kind of interesting? And Ty's right. You know, with Bill never really came over to the offense. He might have came over and said, "Hey, we gotta be a little bit more. You know, we gotta run the ball. We gotta win our 1-on-1 battles, whatever it is." Yeah. But he wasn't really coming in to give X's and O's like he would on defense.
If a situation was dire, I would love when Bill would grab the defense, yank them all together, and start coaching them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you just don't see that.
No, you don't.
You haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you haven't.
From Gerard Mayo.
Apparently, he spent all of practice yesterday with the linebackers.
Okay.
That is where he was all of practice yesterday from the boots on the ground. Yeah. Everybody saying it was different that he had spent his entire time with them yesterday.
And Bill used to do that. I remember Bill would, especially defensively, would go to different positions and spend the whole time at those positions just coaching different techniques and, you know, different drills and, you know, communication. But, yeah, it is very interesting that you really don't, at least I haven't seen or they haven't highlighted Gerard Mayo. But that's something I'll be looking for. I really didn't even notice that.
Yeah. All right. Well, those are our leads. Wiggy, clear up for a texter who was listening yesterday and heard you say that this franchise needs veterans in the locker room from a leadership perspective, how that may contradict what you said during your lead this morning, that they need younger guys.
No, I said going after younger guys in the sense of like a Max Crosby who's only 27 years old or a T. Higgins who's, you know, 26 that have been in the league, but they're younger in the sense where, you know, they have more than just 1 year of playing like with Cooper Kupp. So younger guy, but they still are veterans that will be able to build a culture in that locker room.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Excellent. We are going to get to They Said It in a few minutes. Quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, part one. Right now, Courtney, and what is trending this hour?
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
A lot of guys out of Patriots practice yesterday. There was no Jalen Polk, Ramondre Stevenson, Curtis Jacobs, Laydon Robinson, Anfernee Jennings, Vidarian Lowe, or Keon White. And KJ Osborne did clarify that call me celebration in London that he did, saying it meant, quote, call God.
All right.
For the Panthers, Bryce Young will be back in at quarterback against the Broncos this weekend after Andy Dalton was in a car accident and injured his thumb on Tuesday. Thursday Night Football will see the Vikings at the Rams, kickoff at 8:15. You can listen to that right here on EEI.
Interesting line on this one, Shime. If it remains where it was last night when I was looking at it, it was 2.5.
Yeah, Vikings favored by 2.5. It's been that kind of line all week here. It's interesting in the fact it's actually up to 3 now. Vikings by 3. I think the Vikings are a great team, but having gone in such a physical game against the Lions and then on short rest having to go out to L.A. feels a bit trappy to me, especially because there was for a long time the Lions curse. Have you heard of this?
No.
Anytime a team played the Lions 1 week, they would lose in the following game. So this may be a stay away for me because it feels a little trappy to me, a little rat liney to me.
That's because Dan Campbell's teams are so vicious.
They're physical, man. They beat the crap out of you.
And Greg, you brought up the Sam Darnold thing could be interesting with the players in that locker room of if they're openly trying to trade him. Mm-hmm. If you're the starting quarterback and you're hearing these things, or your other players in that locker room knowing that the team could be looking for the guy that you're going to be going against, you know?
The Celtics are on the road tonight taking on the Washington Wizards. Tip is at 7, the same time that the puck drops for the Bruins and Stars at the TD Garden. Mike Milbury will join us this morning at 9 to talk all things bees. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Right now in the beautiful city of Boston, 57 degrees, cloudy skies, afternoon high of 66. Tomorrow night at Alumni Stadium, going to be gorgeous, crisp in the 50s.
All right. That is, am I correct, long-distance dedication for, let me check, KJ in Foxborough? Is that where that came from this morning, Shime?
Yes, it did, Greg.
My God has a telephone. Okay.
It's catchy.
Well, I'm glad he cleared all that up. I thought for certain in London that KJ Osborne was holding his phone, his hand phone up to his ear, demanding that somebody call and get him out of here because he didn't want to be here. But he clarified that means call God.
All right.
So that's what that was.
Think of the amount of Hall of Fame championship dynastic players that came through that building over the last 20 years, never complaining once. And this collection of stumble bums is bitching every other day.
I would love to have been there for the session where, I don't know if he did it himself or had an advisor, but where he tried to figure out how do you explain away the fingers to the ear, call me and get me out of here. And then somebody came up with, wait a second, if you say it's call God, then nobody can say anything.
Greg, I think it was Hoss Long to figure out to fix this.
Only God can judge me.
I mean, Wiggy, that is a miserable group of wide receivers on that football team. And they're not keeping it to themselves.
Yeah. And I think it sucks for Mayo, and here's why. Because do we believe Alex Van Pelt is Mayo's guy?
No.
And all this animosity, and
it should really be directed at him.
Right.
But Gerard Mayo has to stand up there and take the blame for
Yes.
it.
Yes. So I think, you know,
that's one way to argue it. Now, he's the head coach, and at some point in life, you probably learn the rule that, you know, the saying is, I'd rather get fired for doing what I want to do as opposed to getting fired for doing what somebody else told me to do. So
right, but I guess it's like, how do you go to the you know, like you go to the offensive coordinator and say, hey, listen, let's try to get these guys involved in the game plan. That's all you could do. But it's still up to the coordinator to make sure he's designing the plays that can get these, whether it's reverses, whether it's, you know, quick screens, get the ball in the hands of these guys.
But I understand there's not a lot of talent in there, but this season is a wash anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd ship him up out of here as soon as possible.
That's why I said Mayo should make an example out of somebody in that room.
You would do that, right?
I would. I'd get his ass up out of there.
I mean, Curtis, I don't want to go back to Bill, but Bill probably wouldn't take this. I mean, and Gerard Mayo, he's got a different approach to things, but you got a bunch of disgruntled babies
right. That
are whining every 5 seconds about mm-hmm. how involved they are or aren't.
He kind of lightweight did it with us a little bit, where he said, and I would probably go more in this direction if I was Mayo, because it might be hard to ship guys out. It's like, you're not going to ship out Jalen Polk. But I would go what he did a little bit, where he was like, if you're going to talk the talk, walk the walk.
Yeah, no, he didn't say that.
I would go even further, and I would specifically say to our wide receiver group, you know, we got a lot of guys in there that are good plays. They want the football.
Yeah.
But guess what? They got to show us that they can do something with the football when they get it.
This is BC Jim. Hello, Jim.
How you doing? I have to tell you, I'm biased. I'm a BC alum, but I think Bill O'Brien is so refreshing. One of the best interviews on the station. He's awesome.
Yeah.
I look forward to him every single week.
He is a great interview, and he listens to the show, which helps, and I love having Bill O'Brien on.
The best.
He gives us insight into the world of coaching that, like, we don't have, you know, like, we don't.
Great answer to Curtis's question about Notre Dame
yeah.
this morning. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I really liked it.
Honestly, he's such a breath of fresh air. I really hope he's successful, because he is incredibly good at this.
And he said last year, we stunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we stunk. You know, we had issues.
Stunk last year.
I think he called it a horrible situation.
Yes,
right. So for everybody saying how bad it is right now, remember that guy just told you, who lived it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it was a horrible situation. I am not disputing that it has gotten much worse.
Yeah.
But it was horrible.
Yeah, just keep it in-house.
I think we can meet in the middle there. Mm-hmm. I mean, the argument is going to be, and I love when we argue, Curtis, but the argument is going to be the situation may have been horrible, one could argue, because the owner had already selected a different head coach and was dragging him upstairs when he should be meeting with players to have meetings with him.
It was just a brutal situation.
And Greg, as someone who's endured many of those, I will tell you, brutal situations, not your good points. You and I can meet right now. That the whole story, remember the story right before the season by Don Van Natta about Robert Kraft's obsession about getting into the Hall of Fame?
Yes, yes.
That colors everything. If you really think about it,
it
ceased being about the team's success, and everything was about Robert Kraft looking better to Hall of Fame voters. And so it was all about getting the replacement coach that was an African-American and that would make Robert Kraft fit, you know, be praised by other owners for doing, you know, promoting the Rooney Rule and all of that. And Robert Kraft was fixated on taking credit away from Bill for success and placing all the things that went wrong on his shoulders.
Then you're a real schmuck.
It is a joke that he's not in the Hall of Fame, though.
Of course.
Yeah.
The absolute disgrace joke.
But what makes me sad is last season and this season, and I want to take completely out of it the fact, would Bill have taken Drake May in the draft? Like, take that out of it. Mm-hmm. If Bill had Drake May as his quarterback and not Mac Jones, I don't think it would have been as contentious last season. I don't think that there would have been issues in the locker room.
Nope.
I think that it would have been a completely different season, so I think it's more on
the season would have been different, but they have wanted to get him up and out of there for a long time.
Yes, but I put
behind the scenes, they were diabolically scheming to get him out of there.
100%, but the dysfunction aspect of it, I don't think it would have been a factor last season. Like, I think that he would have really appreciated having a quarterback that bought into whatever Bill Belichick was selling and would have just put his head down and done what's best for the team.
And I think that leads into extra dysfunction this year, too. Like, if you don't have that dysfunction last year, even if you wanted to move on from Belichick, it wouldn't have been nearly as dysfunctional this year because of what you went through the year before.
But unfortunately, all of this animus originated when Robert and Bill chose to work together and get a different quarterback. Because if Bill had just said, Tom can work with Alex Guerrero wherever. We don't have to relitigate this.
Yeah.
Then he has the quarterback. He doesn't need to keep finding one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bill Belichick's decision was to find a new one.
Yeah, but so it would have happened eventually. Like, Tom Brady was eventually not going to be playing.
Right.
And all of this would have come to a head eventually.
Right, but what I'm talking about is the Robert part where he was trying to color himself as absolved from blame for the
right.
departure.
Right.
All of that issue originated in that decision.
Well, yeah. if Robert would have just said, here, Tom, here's the money.
Right.
Yeah. No all issues.
Right. Exactly.
Let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll grill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, are we starting with dysfunction, Chime, or what are we starting
yeah,
with?
Yeah, I think we absolutely start okay. with dysfunction. One of the main focal points of dysfunction has been that wide receiver room. Well, Kayshon Booty spoke to the media yesterday, like at his locker, just kind of a couple people with cell phones, said something interesting about last year in relationship to this year. Here was Kayshon Booty.
I'll say last year, probably as we all know, got sidelined after the first game, Eagles with Bill Belichick. So just coming back this season, kind of sat with Coach Mayo and stuff, and I was just like, I refuse to go through that I did last year. So I'll say just my mindset, knowing that I want to be on the field, one of those top players. So that's kind of why I'm at in my career.
Okay.
All right.
I demanded that the same not happen to me and that I get my time, my playing time, and my touches, and I mm-hmm. am not getting it, so I made that demand, and I want it now.
Well, it seems like there's the difference, right? It almost is like he's saying, Bill put me in the doghouse because of the sideline catch that I didn't make against Philadelphia, where I told Mayo, I don't want, like, don't hold me accountable,
right.
or don't put me in the doghouse for something. You know what I mean? It's almost like
I know it's old school or old head or whatever, but is the employee supposed to be telling the boss what they want done? Like, is that the way?
Well, clearly Mayo has made it clear to his players he wants them to talk to him about this and how they feel,
okay.
and like this is the result of that. And I mean, to Booty's credit, this year, he has made the best catches on the team.
Yes.
He's had the best hands on the team, and I don't think it's particularly close.
Well, yeah, but he's out there, though. Like, what? I don't know. What's the complaint?
Because they're not throwing him the football. I mean, Greg, he was out there. He led all receivers in plays, snaps taken last week, and yet he had two targets the entire game.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Next, let's go to a guy outside the Patriots organization weighing in on the Patriots. That would be J.J. Watt. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and this was J.J.
I love hosts that don't wear shirts.
No, they wear tank tops or cutoffs. J.J. Watt talked about Mayo's soft comments and how he would take it.
Okay. It's tough to walk into the team meeting on Monday after you do that post game. You better know 100% sure the type of team you have and the way they respond to things. And you better know that statement you made is going to get them to work harder as opposed to shut down. I don't know if I've been in many locker rooms where that in the NFL, in today's NFL, where that is going to make guys work harder. I think that is one where they turn on you.
Oh, oh boy. All right. Well, they're saying the right things,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Right.
Some of them.
Very interesting.
So, but you don't know whether they have turned on him or not.
Yeah, it's hard in those situations. When I was in Minnesota, you take the Mike Tyson approach, basically say, all right, who wants to fight? I'll fight every one of you. Like, literally wanted to fight us
yeah.
in the team meeting
uh-huh.
and was calling guys out, like, let's fight. You know, because of the way that we weren't playing, yeah.
I don't think that approach would work either. But.
Yeah,
well, I mean,
never
but
the solution.
Yeah, but when you're Mike Tyson, you're 6'8", and you're a big man,
yeah.
or you're Gerard Mayo, who's a big guy. Like, you know, maybe somebody. That's what they miss. And Ty and I were talking about it when he was here on Ty Tuesday. You miss potentially knowing that some of the guys that walk around that locker room with that kind of leadership stick could actually swing on you.
and
you know, I mean, who, you think about it, Greg, you've been there before. You're like, I don't want to get my ass whooped.
No, that's
let me fall in line.
That's always my approach.
Greg, using the Pat McAfee show as a guide, don't you think the receivers should learn something from the way AJ Hawk does things on that show?
Yes.
He's back in the library, huh?
Yeah, he is.
The bookless library.
The one time he wasn't in the library was because Pat McAfee wasn't in the studio. Maybe they just don't like each other.
That's a good point.
All right, what else, Sean?
Well, I got a cut here, Greg. This might infuriate Courtney. I got to be honest with you. Tyreek Hill spoke to the media yesterday and was asked about people who own him in fantasy. Here was Tyreek Hill's response.
We're back, baby. Strike up, man. We're back, baby. Start me this week, baby. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, that's Tua's playing?
Yeah, Tua's playing.
All right.
They look good. Yeah. Apparently, they were on fire in practice, the two of them. Yeah. So
I'm sure Tyreek will take care of Tua if he gets another concussion. He seems really worried about the well-being of his quarterback.
I mean, but if Tua can stay on the field,
right,
then they're back in it.
Yeah, they're a different team.
I mean, yeah, they clearly they are back in it.
And even though, like, regardless of what you think of Tua as far as him as a player, he's good enough to make that team relevant where they are playoff.
Well,
team.
And with how bad they've been without him, does that make you think Tua is actually better than you thought? Because originally we thought Mike McDaniel was this genius, but maybe when Tua goes out, it's like, oh, this offense is terrible. No. Tua comes back and they're great again. Maybe it's just Tua's actually good.
Yeah, no, great point, Shime. All right, that is They Said It Part 1. We'll get to They Said It Part 2 coming up at 8:20, and Courtney has the news coming up next. And what an OnlyFans content creator is accused of doing to a poor husband may mean Wiggy will cancel his account. We'll get to that and the rest of the news next.
It's time for...
I rise today to recognize a specially crafted food that draws people from across the country to my hometown of New Haven, Connecticut. It is called Abiz.
The news.
It's not no bad pizza. New York pizza sucks. Connecticut pizza sucks.
It does.
With your host, Courtney Cox.
The new line on Unlimited Ultimate.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health with 5 locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com on WEEI.
What do you think they would say if I stood up?
Framingham police found a pet piglet that was abandoned by its owners. The Animal Rescue League of Boston's Dedham location will have the piglet up for adoption. Mitch has the photo of the very, very cute little guy.
Bacon!
No! That is a beautiful little animal.
Yeah, it's still young.
The owner abandoned this piglet. There's no update on if they found the owner, if the owner will face any charges.
What a horrible person.
Yeah.
Like, you get a cute little piglet. I understand that they're going to grow into a large sow at some point. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, if you're gonna get a piglet, then you ought to care for the piglet. So
maybe,
can we bring that piglet in for Pudge's pal?
Whatever we can do to help any loving animal out there.
People who own pigs, I don't get it.
Yeah, well,
pigs are disgusting looking.
I mean, you wanted to turn the thing into bacon.
Yeah, of course. When it gets older.
You think that's disgusting looking?
Yeah, I don't like you. Ugh, like you have a pig with short legs.
Need I remind you that this piglet was a pet? And
no, I know that.
We do not eat our pets.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats.
Well, it's different when you're talking about pigs. I love
more
bacon.
Of that,
oh, you want the whole thing?
Oh,
my
God. I got to get into it. I mean, you can't start it and then cut it off in the middle.
It's the zeitgeist.
Well, it's a great song.
Hear a little bit of that. It's a complete
They're
game
eating off. The dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
People of Springfield, please don't eat my cats. Why would you do that? Eat something else.
Okay, that's enough.
I heard the funniest thing, just to talk about the insanity of the political world now.
Yes.
I heard a guy explain, he goes, Trump voters don't reply to polls. According to at least one poll, 30% of Trump voters said they would hang up on someone. Does that make sense to anybody?
It sounds like 100% of people would hang up on any political call that they are getting
but
right now.
But that just said they did a poll of Trump voters saying they don't listen to polls. Like, and the host was like, oh, good point.
I can't wait till this thing is over.
Yeah.
How long? 2 weeks.
When this is over.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Police in Brookline and Cambridge are investigating anti-Semitic stickers that are popping up in their communities. The stickers have popped up outside of Jewish businesses, schools, and synagogues. The stickers are the Israeli flag with the Star of David replaced with a blue swastika. Here's State Rep Tommy Vitolo on BZ.
Perhaps the intent was to criticize Israeli foreign policy. And if that's your intent, you take it to representatives of Israel. Where you don't take it is to synagogues and Jewish businesses. That's also anti-Semitic. It's totally out of bounds.
Disgusting.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Okay.
In England, an OnlyFans model has been charged with blackmail. She threatened to tell a married subscriber's wife if he didn't pay extra. Bethan Guy or Guy, I don't know which way she pronounces it, is on your screen right now if you're watching Twitch.
All right, there she is.
She initially forced an unidentified victim to fork over the equivalent of nearly $600 after they connected on Snapchat back in 2022. Uh-huh. Why a married man is connecting with an OnlyFans model on Snapchat is a completely different story. According to police, the 29-year-old then spent several days demanding extra cash from the guy.
So she lured him in.
Yes.
And took advantage of him.
Yep.
Yes.
Huh?
Sure.
That's what she did.
Yep.
Called entrapment.
It's a honeypot.
Do I feel bad for the husband? No. I do not.
You don't? You think she should be able to blackmail a guy?
No, I don't think blackmail is ever right. But, I mean, if they connected on Snapchat, that seems like they were communicating outside of the OnlyFans universe. So usually you pay extra for that.
Or maybe it was a friendship thing. They were connected.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You have feelings for the old women who get robbed by men doing this.
What?
You feel for the old women who get robbed by men who take them for their money?
This man was pleasing himself off of this woman while his wife was probably in the other room.
Right.
So, he was getting something out of it.
You don't know that.
Okay.
I mean, seems like he could have just been going there for, you know.
Friendship.
It could be a book club.
But what
do you go to OnlyFans for friendship, Wiggy?
Well, no, I don't go to OnlyFans for friendship.
I knew a guy in college. Tinder had just kind of blown up,
yeah.
And he had a girlfriend, and he used to, like, when people would send her his Tinder profile, he'd be like, I just like talking to people, and it's, like, really a friendship
thing. Did
you
buy the excuse?
I mean, they stayed together for a while.
Because Greg brought up the point, well, you know, if he's paying her for whatever, and maybe he is pleasing himself, who the hell knows?
Right.
But then to blackmail him?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I know a guy who went on Tinder. And when his girlfriend caught him using his phone, he said he was trying to call God.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
Yeah. Right. The victim did go to police, and Bethan was arrested and charged with blackmail. She was charged with a suspended sentence. She's also ordered to carry out 225 hours of volunteer work, undergo mental health treatment, and pay her victim back the $600.
Did we talk? I think we did on the show. Did we talk about the OnlyFans CEO?
No.
I think we did. Curtis?
I know we talked about it before the show. I think we talked about it.
About how much money they made?
No, how much they paid.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Creators.
What? Ooh. I don't remember this.
Yeah, wasn't it like $3 billion or something crazy like that?
It was in the billions.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was an absolute. I think it might have.
It may have been 10.
I think it was. Somebody has to Google it,
as LB would say.
But the
it's crazy.
The amount of money that men. It's mostly men, I think.
Google it.
Have spent, like, watching somebody get naked.
Right.
You ready?
Yeah.
20.
Wow.
Billion.
$20 billion.
Since 2016.
So in 8 years.
We're doomed.
In 8 years, they have paid out $20 billion. To their naked content creators or beach sexers.
That's why women are winning. Women are winning.
It's unbelievable.
Women should never complain about a job.
But where is all the money coming from? Like, where are
where's dudes? Equal pay for equal right?
Where are dudes getting the money
it's
from?
It's a great point. This guy had to go to police eventually because he couldn't pay his rent because he was paying this woman.
Right. Guys, they'll like I told you, they'll throw their last rent check or their kids diaper money at the strip club because she gives them some fantasy.
And people come at me for sports gambling apps when dudes are literally going bankrupt on OnlyFans.
That's it.
Women, I bet you have like a sneaky little OnlyFans for like anime creators.
I do not have a single login to OnlyFans.
But, anime, you know, porn stars out there?
I don't do anime porn.
Oh.
I watch anime, but I don't watch hentai. There's a big difference.
Okay, so, but there are hentai stars.
No.
Well, they're not real. I wouldn't know. I honestly wouldn't know.
They're not real, Courtney. Hentai is like cartoon characters.
I understand, but I'm sure there's recurring roles.
Right.
In the hentai universe.
Yeah. If you're into that.
It's a disturbing thing that $20 billion has been paid out. That's unbelievable.
That's
almost as much as we've given to Ukraine.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the story yesterday about the vaccine.
It's almost as much as we're spending on our new neighbors here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. All right, we got to take a break. But we will get to the rest of the news with Courtney next. And a chance for you to bring your hero to lunch. At Lunch with a Hero, which is coming up on the Friday of Veterans Day weekend.